Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners. The date today is the 22nd of Dhul Hijjah 1446. Let's welcome Mulana Salman Yunus Hafidhullah. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you keeping today, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah. How's Mulana keeping?
All well, alhamdulillah. Weather is good, also warmish, a little bit cool. Winter, you can feel it. That side, Joburg has been much more colder.
Sure. Much colder, yeah. But it's compared to last week, it's warmed up a bit. We taking off some layers of clothing, so that's a little bit of relief. But alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. On one end, we speak to people in other places of the country, they say it's so hot. So that is exactly what we've learned from this Qurbani period, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever condition, we don't change our stance and our beliefs and our structure. Mulana, there is I know you have got other topics to speak on, but just quickly, we have to warn the Ummah once again that here in South Africa, in Johannesburg region, the news just came to me this morning. There is an individual, his name is Hamza Tsotsi. Now, I'm not going to, the way it's spelled, that's how I'm going to pronounce it. It's Tsotsi. So he's around, he's gone to Masjid al-Furqan of Houghton. He was supposed to, he was scheduled to go to Azadville in a masjid there, but alhamdulillah, our seniors there in Azadville with Mulana Abdul Hamid Saab, Hafidhullah, and the rest, putting pressure, he had to then cancel the program. So it's, they said cancelled, but now they're having it in another area. And we'll continue, it's our duty to continue warning the Ummah of this. And he says, follow the Sunnah, follow this. And as we've been stressing, Mulana yourself has been mentioning so much that we've got the best. I know when I went to Darul Umm Zakaria and I was just still finding out which madrasa to study at, they told me straight that, see, these seniors, they've reached the heights in terms of the subjects that they are teaching. And you won't find this in anywhere else. So it drove me then to say, okay, this year is something. And if you take our seniors in our country, alhamdulillah, responding to current issues, responding to different aspects from a Shari perspective, alhamdulillah. So there you have Mujahideen. But Quran Sharif also tells us that leave behind a group which is going to get involved and preserve this deen, the Shari principles of this deen, and how to go about with regards to daily activities and the rest. So there is this movement that is out there, and it's, they're not stopping. We've seen they've brought in Umar Suleiman. He conducted an ulama program. Now, people like this, Hamza Tsotsi and the rest, conducting ulama programs and bringing them and giving them the mimbars. What message are we giving to the Ummah? And further, before Mulana opens and mentions the rest, isn't this, and Mulana, you can explain to us more, isn't this a movement to separate the general public from the ulama-i haqqani, bringing in all these individuals? They've done this in many other places where deen was flourishing. First thing they said, we're not going to attack and become brutal because that damages it damages the reputations of people and countries and those who are committing the crime. So let's do it smartly. It's all about smart. So let's break this relationship between the young, the general, and the ulama'i ahaqani, those who are promoting the truth. Once that's broken, there's a big hole, and then in it just means generations to come, South Africa will be bare of what they say. I've heard this from Mufti A.K. Saab. It was a profound statement. He said, this is the capital of Hufaz in South Africa. We've got the capital of Hufaz. And it's true, because how many Hufaz we have? So many madrasas still running. So this, to break this, all these all this ploys and plans, for what is this? Mulana, you can just give it, tell us shortly and then go to the topic, please.
whatever Ma says, 100% correct, alhamdulillah. I'm not sure, I never see the miss, but from the name Ma said, Hamza, I think, I don't know if it's the same guy was here recently also, a few, end of last year it was, I'm not too sure whether it's the same person or not. But, you see, in South Africa, alhamdulillah, we have been blessed with ulama of the greatest caliber. They went, they studied under senior ulama, they came back, they opened the Darul Ulum, and they produced like-minded, likewise, ulama like that there. And it is correct, as Mufti Sahib has said, that we are now the Hufaz capital. We see Ramadan time, how many countries are pulling from South Africa Hufaz? How many countries are taking? If you just, I don't know if a test was done regarding from South Africa, just how many countries Hufaz went to in Ramadan, we'll see them in numerous numbers, double digits, maybe even triple digits even. But this is the gift that Allah Ta'ala has blessed South Africa with. And together with Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the pure deen, with the correct deen, as we see how we are following it. So just the other day I was reading up on some articles, and example, I was looking at how Ramadan was in China, how Ramadan was in different parts of the world, and what differences there were. And when you read it, you think to yourself that, you know what, this, it doesn't come anywhere in Quran, it doesn't come anywhere in Sunnah, in anywhere of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, in certain aspects that they find part of Ramadan, a part of Islam. And when we look at the Islam that we are following, that's why we say Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we follow it as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, as Sahaba radiallahu anhu did it. That whatever we do, we can see it in conformity with that. That's how we know that we are on the correct group. Many a times the person asks, you know, there are so many different categories or different classes. How do you know for sure that you are on the right one? And it's very simple. You say, look, if we are doing it like how Sahaba did it, like how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned it, then we know we are on the correct way. But if we are doing something and we cannot find it in the hadith, we cannot find it in the teaching of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then we must know, we need to recheck and re-see where we've learned this here. Is it part of Islam or is it not part of Islam? So when we look at our Islam of South Africa, we can see that it's identical to that of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as he taught it, as Sahaba radiallahu anhum practiced upon it. If we were example of that time, then we'll be following the same way. We'll be doing the same as them. On the contrary, we'll find other groups that if they are trying to follow Islam, and if to look how they are doing it compared to how Sahaba did it, it's worlds apart, worlds apart. So this you can say is the litmus test of how we know that we are on the correct way and we are following Islam in its pure and complete way. Now what happens is we find many a times when something becomes so common, if you want to use that word, or so popular, and Islam is so popular, alhamdulillah, that we know the correct way, we know the correct teachings. Then when a person, as we discussed many weeks ago, when a person is not really happy with Islam, he's not happy with the teachings, or he's looking for loopholes around it, then he'll pull people as an excuse. He'll pull people in, they'll say, come and tell us a different version, which will make us, make our nafs happy, make the media happy, make the world happy, that, okay, these types of Muslims, we are happy with them. And that's what is the attack at the moment. That is the fitna we are seeing. In many countries, if you look where Islam was vibrant and being followed correctly, the main fall came when they tried to modernize Islam. They tried to bring scholars who were not qualified, who had no traditional teachings, who did not have, were not masters in the deen of Islam, but rather they just studied some secular degree. And from there, they said, okay, let me now start talking about Islam. And this person, this Hamza, is likewise, he's qualified in philosophy. When it comes to Islamic studies, where is the qualification? So a person just feels, now I'm a good speaker, I got the gift of the gab, and I can wow the masses, and the masses get thrilled. And they say, let's pull him over. Why? Because now it comes back to our point again, that what we were discussing yesterday with the youth programs and things. And now it's all about entertainment. It's all about just having a nice time. But doing what needs to be done, following Islam as it needs to be followed, that is totally forgotten. And you'll find that this is a really big fitna at the moment. And as Maulana has rightfully said, that these scholars coming is actually to show us, is an eye-opener for us. One is we look at it as we worried about the public, we worried about the awam, that they mustn't be misled. But it's also for them to realize that look at the vast difference in their dressing, in their places where they're holding their function, their venues, in the people that are attending it. Look at the vast difference between that and our ulama of haq, and how they give the message of deen, how they spread the message of deen. And this is supposed to actually pull you and push you towards the ulama even more and more, to realize, you know, let me be grateful for these ulama that are here in our country who are doing such sterling jobs, such sterling khidmat of deen they are doing. So this should show me more and drive me more to be behind them and link myself to them. Because when we look at a person like our ulama, when they are dressed in complete sunnah, we feel peace, we feel ease, we feel happiness just to look at them. We know that in our heart, he's telling us this is a person that is a wali of Allah. This is a friend of Allah. And when we're getting these foreign imports that are coming, then when you look at them, automatically we think of some modern business person, or we'll think of some political figure of the world. Our heart is not inclined towards Allah Ta'ala. And that is a very, very driving factor and a big differentiation between how I know who to be with and who not to be with. When I look at him, does he remind me of Allah Ta'ala? When I'm in the company of them, do they remind me to be a better Muslim? Or is the world entering my heart more? Is the lifestyle that I know not correct, but because now I got sort of an excuse in them to follow these lifestyles? Is that what is coming to my way? So we find that even COVID time, you said that was a very, very big test for us Muslims of South Africa. But is it everything is in the hikmat of Allah Ta'ala? COVID revealed what we'll say, the good from the bad. It made you realize who we should stick towards in following our deen, where they had held firm in the principles of Islam when it came to Salah, when it came to upholding certain aspects of Islam. They held firm, no matter what the government said. And we saw that they eventually everything rooted back to Islam, and then people had to follow it. But those that gave in, those that just said follow, then they had to hang their heads in shame when all the facts came out that all this was nonsense, all this was made up, there was no benefit behind it, no scientific proof behind it. But because the orders came, so we pushed it. So COVID came in a way to show you the true from the false, show you the good from the bad. Everything, when you look at it, Allah Ta'ala is, like we'll say, sifting out, like, you know, closer to Qiyamah, that earthquake will take place in Medina and all the munafiqs will run out. Why they run out? Because they're scared. They don't have trust in the words of Allah Ta'ala in Nabi Sallam that Medina will be safeguarded from Dajjal. Stay here, no matter what's happening, but stay here. But the munafiqs, they're scared. They're running for their life. So they leave Medina and they run towards Dajjal. So like that day will be the sifting out of the true believers from the disbelievers and the munafiqs. Likewise, in our current time, we find events that are unfolding that is also doing the same. Because you must know that the way the world is heading at the moment, that army of Imam Mahdi is being prepared. That army of Imam Mahdi is being prepared. And for that army, you have to be of pure iman. You have to be of complete iman. And for that day to happen, you have to have this sifting process. You have to have this process of separating the good, the bad, separating those of the mu'min, munafiqeen, and the kuffar, totally separate. And this is, I think, very important that these aspects are spoken about. Because many of these scholars are coming to our country and everyone is just silent about it. No one is speaking about it. And like we're saying, the minbar, which is an honorable position. Before, when we're growing up, we should look at the ulama on the minbar, Jumma time. And you should look at them at awe and you think how amazing, how lucky they are that they have been afforded this opportunity to address us. They have been afforded the knowledge of deen, seen him speaking Arabic, seen him quoting a hadith. And this position of a minbar automatically gives that honor to a person, automatically gives an honor. By you giving them the minbar or giving them the platform to address, you are honoring them. And we should not honor those that are going to be detrimental to the deen. We should not honor those that are watering down the deen. Because then imagine if you got 500 people, 600 people, and they'll see in you in some masjid or in some venue, this person amongst other ulama of our country is being given the platform to address us. Automatically you are giving the people trust in him. Automatically you are giving the people that confidence in him. You know, we are giving him the platform, trust him. So one person, I was discussing with them one day, and they said, you know what, don't worry, we're going to be seated here. If he says anything, then we will address it, we will bring it up. And then I had to explain to them, that realize something. It's not about today's bayan. It's not about today's lecture. It's about the lecture that's going to come after. That today the masses might listen to them. And they speak 100% correct. They'll speak 100% on point. But what happened today? Today the masses got confidence in them and they took a liking towards them. From here onward, they'll download their bayans or even watch their bayans on YouTube, whatever. And then what's going to happen? They're not going to have you next to them to tell them, you know what, now what he said is wrong. What he said now is not correct. Now they're just going to follow blindly. Why? Because you gave them the first step of having confidence in this person. They're only going to think, you know what, such and such masjid hosted them. We know the ulama there, or such and such people who hosted them. So now for us to follow them going further is not difficult. In a whole meal, the whole meal can be totally nutritious, totally tasty. All it takes is that one drop of poison in between everything that you don't even know, you're not even aware of. One drop of poison that you pick up, you put within you. And the effect it's going to have now is going to be detrimental. So likewise with our deen is a very sensitive matter. Our deen is a very sensitive matter that we have to be very careful of every single belief, every single word that we utter. We have to know very well what it has to do. So we have to see who we take it from. We can't just, whoever is coming, and now the media and everything, it's become so popular that whatever scholars people are seeing on me on the YouTubes, whether it's in England, America, and it's very shocking what they are promoting. It's very shocking in how they are trying to move us away from what we will call orthodox traditional Islam, as has been followed from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, right up till now, it's been in the same manner. But now they are trying to persuade you and convince you, you know what, there's no need for you to dress as Sunnah. There's no need for you. Who said that this garb you are putting on is part of Sunnah? Then they want to say, who said that you have to cut your hair like this? Who said the woman needs to be at home? Why does the woman need to wear black abaya? All these things, they are bringing up. They are spurring up these discussions. And the innocent layman, what's going to happen? He's going to fall prey. He doesn't know what to say. And to him, it sounds so convincing, so convincing. And he say, you know what, it makes sense. It makes sense. And majority of the time, these speakers, they use logic. They use what you say, rationale, to try and convince you, to try and make you realize in the common world that you are living, why it's so logical, why it's so appropriate for you to do all these things. But remember something, like one time also I was discussing with a person, and he only uses logic, he says, to convince non-Muslims of Islam. So I told him, see, logic is in its place. Allah Ta'ala tells us also, look at the sun rising, look at the sun setting, look at how the plants grow from nothing, comes back to life. We look at these things to remember and remind us of the qudrat and the power of Allah Ta'ala. But when it comes to convincing a person of deen, we cannot rely on this, because ours is bil ghaib, ours is belief in the unseen. How will you use logic to convince a person of the unseen? How will you use logic to tell the person, you know what, in the qabr there's another life there. There's azab in the qabr. Qiyamah, there's another life there. How will you use these things? How will they believe it if you're going to use logic? So among these scholars, you'll find it's a very common thing. One is they study philosophy, so they know exactly how a person's mind works. They know exactly how a person thinks. So when they are talking to you, they know exactly which lines to use. They know exactly. It's more like a mind game. More like a mind game. And when you look at our ulama of haqq, who we always are saying, stick to them, stick to them. Don't move away from them. There's nothing fancy, flowery in their speech. But their speech got all the power because everything is coming from Quran and Sunnah. So when you are listening to their talks, you have no doubt in your mind that, you know, where is he pulling this from? Or give me some fancy story. You are listening there, and the power of Quran is entering your heart. The power of the hadith is entering your heart. And hearing these words, as our iman is supposed to be, that we have no doubts in the words of Allah Ta'ala. No doubts in the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No matter what anyone can say, whether it's making sense to my brains or not making sense to my brain, but my iman is that I believe in it. And when we believe in it, Allah Ta'ala in our life will manifest the truth. Many times it happens. You see, you know what, this is the command of Allah, I am carrying it out. I don't care what anyone else is saying, I'm not worried about what this person is saying about me, why I didn't attend this function, or why I didn't go to this place. I am following the command of Allah. And you'll see a few months down the line, in that same scenario, we'll see now Allah Ta'ala, we fulfill His command. And you'll see the benefit Allah pulls in our life, Allah brings in our life. That those people, maybe they went ahead with what was not in the command of Allah Ta'ala. And now we see how their life is heading. Or we'll see something in that event when that happened, that everyone was involved. This is the trust in Allah Ta'ala. This is what we have to say to find this, to become part of this. We have to link with the ulama haqq. and especially our youth growing up, because they are only watching this. I was also teaching in a school that was very, very, what do you say, modernly inclined, and the youth also were from that background, from that affluent background. So for them, everything they learned of Deen, they shouldn't go to madrasa in the afternoon or anything. And it was a very hard one to try and convince them of our ulama, to tell them to sit in the company. The simple answer was, but we got these people on YouTube, we're listening to them, we're learning from them. And then you have to explain to them that, how do you know them? Where did they qualify? What qualifications? If you go into a doctor, you're not going to follow any doctor on YouTube to say, this is what I'm going to self-diagnose myself. You're going to say, you know, I want a proper doctor. Let me see your qualifications, where you studied, how many years you practiced. If you're going to find a doctor did surgery and every surgery he did, people died, you're never going to go to him. So likewise, we've got such trustable ulama in almost every single of our localities, our communities, where we can go, sit, talk with them, get their advice, get their nasiha, and just being in their company is enough. That influence that it has on the heart, the effect it has on our heart. But the problem is, we are wanting all these imports and all that are here, what we say local, all that are around us, waiting. They are waiting for us to come to them. When you are sick, you don't expect the doctor to come to you. You have to go out. You go find him, which doctor is open, where I can go, who is the best. You even see the prices, whatever it is. Likewise, we got the ulama having the majalises, having their programs weekly, the Jummah bayans that are taking place, the weekly muzakira that are taking place. We have to put ourselves there. Otherwise, we only have ourselves to blame. You know, the ulama are not doing anything. We often hear that the ulama are not doing anything. But when last did you go and sit in the company of the ulama? When last did you go and put there and see this, how much they are speaking out against these matters? How much they are addressing it? It's just we don't have ourselves available to go and listen to it. So we're going to find coming forward that this is going to be a new norm, if you want to say, use the term, that from the different countries, this sheikh is coming, or this qiraat program is being held, and this qari from this country, Egypt, or whichever places are coming. And when you look at them, they are not following the sunnah. They are clean shaven. Yes, they have a beautiful voice, but that is not enough. Quran, sunnah, Islam is not based on one, two qualities. It's based on the whole as one. So before we think of inviting anyone or attending anyone, then let us look, how is his dressing? The first thing is that imagine if in public a person can look in a certain way, in public if he can behave in a certain way, then in his private life, what is there to say about his private life? What is there really to say? Normally we'll say, you know, whatever is between him and Allah Ta'ala, he is answerable. But between him and the public, that then we can have some questionability about him. You can ask him that you did this in public, explain yourself. You made these statements, make an open retraction because it was done in public. But now if in public they are openly and blatantly against the commands of Allah Ta'ala, saying things, dressing in ways, mixing in mixed gatherings, then in their private life, there is not much to say. So we want this pure deen, and Allah has blessed us with this pure deen in South Africa. We have to value it by sticking to the ulama that are promoting this pure deen, that are advising. And alhamdulillah, those people that are attending the majalises, you see great benefit in their lives. You find them following deen correctly. You find their children becoming kuffar. You find their children on salah, their children on sunnah. And even if it's a handful, sometimes, you know, they say, but you know, the ulama that are having these programs, so little bit are attending. Never mind a little bit are attending, but the benefit that those little bit are attending can change the whole masses. That one individual from there has the ability to now lead his whole family to correctness. And that little bit attending is not the downside of that alim. It's rather the downside of the public, that they are losing out. They are missing out on this valuable chance and opportunity of gaining from this ocean of knowledge. Yesterday, I think it was Mufti Ismail Musa recently sent a post, and he said, very often, I will end up on this point, that when ulama pass away, then we'll find these biographies and eulogies are written about them, what great ulama they are. But the sad reality is that whilst they are alive, no one is taking benefit from them. Whilst they are alive, when they should be benefited from, then people are not attending. But once they pass away, now we're going to write big articles regarding them. When the real maqsad is, when they are alive, let us go in the suhbah. We don't know if we're going to get ulama of this caliber again, ulama of this piety, of this taqwa, these levels. Look at the Adab Ulums. Years, imagine 40, 50 years teaching ahadith, teaching tafsir. What is the level of that man's taqwa, that level of that man's ilm? And here we are going towards scholars who for a few years studied a little bit on their own. I'm good with the auditable abilities. And now they say, let me go and take Deen from them. They are still newborn babies. They have to actually come to us to learn, if you want to look at it that way. We as Africans, who are normal Muslim, Deen, our five times Salah, who went through the Maktab system, our Iman, our Deen, our knowledge in Deen is far better than these people who are mixing the whole thing together. May Allah Ta'ala protect us and the masses all from these fitnas that are coming. May Allah Ta'ala grant us love of the true ulama. That's why you see when we enter a town, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us such a beautiful dua. Oh Allah, make us beloved to the pious and make the pious beloved to us. That was the dua. When you come into a new town, find the pious people, attach yourself to the pious people and make them beloved and you beloved. This is the recipe for us to be saved from the fitna around us, as everything we'll see how they will sort out and they will find easy ways for us, inshallah.
JazakAllah khairan, Mulana, for addressing that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ummah and guide us also. And as you've mentioned, to stick with the ulama, haqqani, our senior ulama, and those who, like you've said, those who are educated in the field. We would never go to a doctor who's not professional in for a surgery or for an operation. So similarly, like this, Mulana has well highlighted this year, and Allah accept us. We'll meet you next week, inshallah, Mulana. Jazakumullah khairan for coming out at the last minute as well on this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.